Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So as classrooms around the country roll out the lesson plans for Black History Month, one of the figures that always comes up is Rosa Parks. But time and again, the civil rights leader is reduced to one incident on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. In her new book, The Rebellious Life of Mrs. Rosa Parks, Jean Theo Harris argues that Parks' work extends far beyond serving as a catalyst for the Montgomery bus boycott of 1955. Theo Harris is a professor of political science at Brooklyn College, and she joins us now. Why today? Today is the 100th anniversary of Rosa Parks' birth. Happy birthday to one of the great Americans. Professor Theo Harris, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Rosa Parks is a civil rights icon, beloved, emblematic, larger than life. What's wrong with this picture?
I think what's wrong with this picture is that, in fact, her life is far bigger. It's far more courageous. It's than I think the myth of the one day, one act, I think, sometimes gives us. So she has a political history that starts decades before. She's raised by her mother and her grandparents, who teach her to be, you know, to sort of be respectable, but also to demand respect. Her husband, the first real activist she ever met, is working for this to free the nine Scottsboro boys, nine young men who are arrested on a train, and then black young men in 1931 charged with rape. So Raymond Parks, when she marries him, is working on that case. And she joins the NAACP, the local chapter, in 1943. So she has a decade of political work, courageous political work, even before that evening on the bus.
So she wasn't simply a tired seamstress who didn't want to get up on the bus and accidentally became a big deal.
She had been working for the NAACP, her and Edie Nixon, who becomes the president of the local branch, to transform it into a more activist branch. And she is traveling the state of Alabama in that decade before the bus, before her arrest, taking testimony, doing this very dangerous work of trying to document white brutality and legal malfeasance against African Americans. So she comes to that night with a lot of political experience and with having taken many stands against segregation even before that evening.
Anybody want to pay tribute to Rosa Parks on this, the 100th anniversary of her birth? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And yet the image of her as kind of a regular person on the bus, wasn't that a main source of the effectiveness of that moment?
I think yes and no. I think certainly that she's a regular person. She is a working class black person. They actually are living in the projects when she is arrested. But part of the success, part of why her arrest galvanizes the black community in Montgomery is because they know her, they respect her, and they know her political work, so they know she's not going to flinch under the massive pressure that's going to come down on her.
So if we've had this image, if history has had this image, and maybe the contemporary media coverage of her at the time, was her regular person image manufactured for political effect?
I don't think it was manufactured. She was a seamstress. She was an assistant tailor at the downtown department store. She was a devoted Christian. She was very active in her church. So I think it was those aspects of who she was were put forward. I think this is the Cold War, right? They are red-baited immediately. She is called a communist immediately. She is called a communist for decades, in fact. I think we forget that about Rosa Parks, that she is red-baited. She gets death threats that year. She continues to get death threats even after the boycott ends. She will be hired by Congressman John Conyers in 1965. There will be more death threats, right, because Conyers chooses to hire her in his Detroit office, right? So part of the kind of backgrounding of her politics is about keeping, in many ways, the movement safe, right?
Talk more about that. How was anti-communism used to try to thwart the civil rights movement in the case of Rosa Parks?
I mean, it is used, and it's not just in the case of Rosa Parks. Many civil rights activists, in many ways, civil rights activism by the mid-1950s, and particularly after the Supreme Court's decision in Brown versus Board of Education, get linked to communism, that this is seen as a disruptive, this is seen as kind of un-American. There's this belief that communists will come and sow dissent, will split us up. And so then people advocating civil rights, racial justice, become seen as people who are troublemakers, and troublemakers becomes equated with traitors or un-American, right? So Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, many, many people will be red-baited for their civil rights activism. And this is in the South, but it's also in the North, right? Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King get red-baited in the North for their support of desegregated schools, desegregated housing. So this is a kind of charge launched against many civil rights activists in the 50s, in the 60s, in many ways, to quiet that dissent.
And you also write about how this wasn't the first such incident on a Montgomery bus, correct?
No. There were a number of incidents in the decade after World War II of people resisting on the bus and being arrested, being thrown off. One of her neighbors is actually killed for his bus resistance. And this is also not Rosa Parks' first resistance on the bus. Rosa Parks hated the practice. Some Montgomery bus drivers made black people pay in the front, get off the bus, and reboard in the back. And she refused to do this. So she had been thrown off the bus by this very bus driver more than a decade earlier for refusing to do this. And she had gotten in trouble with other bus drivers because she refused to reboard in the back. So this is also not her first experience, but there were a number of people. And in March of that year, the young Claudette Colvin, 15-year-old Claudette Colvin, gets arrested on the bus. And that is really the beginning moment, right, of what's going to become the movement that emerges in December of 1955, is Claudette Colvin's arrest in March.
My guest is Jean Theo Harris, author of The Rebellious Life of Mrs. Rosa Parks, out now on this, the 100th anniversary of Rosa Parks' birth. RJ in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello, RJ.
Hi. Well, I'm glad that Ms. Theo Harris discussed the previous arrests and so forth on the bus. My understanding is that, in fact, not only were there previous arrests, but that Rosa Parks was, as an activist, chosen as part of a strategy because she was considered extremely respectable, that others were not, in the general public's eye, perhaps strategically considered as respectable as she was. So she was considered a good representative of the community to take this role. And so it was actually a very strategic decision on the part of the civil rights movement at the time.
Professor Theo Harris, you agree?
We need to clarify a couple of things. The first is that Rosa Parks was not a plant. It was not planned beforehand, right? She makes that decision that day in the moment. In fact, she had waited for a less crowded bus. She passed up a bus because it was too crowded. And in fact, the idea that she is a plant is an idea that comes up among white segregationists immediately at the time, that she's a plant, that she's a communist plant, that she's an NAACP plant. So that said, certainly Edie Nixon is a longtime union porter and was also headed the Montgomery branch of the NAACP for a while. He is certainly very delighted after Rosa Parks is arrested and she is okay, in that he definitely sees her as the kind of figure that will galvanize people. So in that respect, certainly the strategicness, and I think that's because of her demeanor, right? It's because of her respectability, but it's also because again, as I said before, of her sort of political background. And so they know how much is going to come down upon somebody who chooses to press a case forward like this. And this happens to the Parkses, right? She loses her job. Her husband loses his job. They get constant death threats, right? So that's also part of the strategic choice of Rosa Parks. She's 42 years old. She's politically seasoned. She's respectable. She's a Christian, right? All of these things combine, right, into what makes her sort of the figure that the kind of movement then emerges around.
We've got about a minute left. You're in Detroit, I understand, for the Rosa Parks Day of Courage celebration. And as we mentioned, it's the centennial of her birth today. And people usually associate Parks with the South and Montgomery, but she spent much of her life in Detroit. What's her significance to that city?
Well, her significance, two things. She moves to Detroit in 1957, 8 months after the boycott. They are, in many ways, exiled from Montgomery, and she spends more than half of her political life in what she calls the Northern Promised Land that wasn't, challenging sort of segregation and racial injustice in Detroit. She works for Congressman John Conyers. She helps him get elected in 1964. She protests police brutality. She protests the war in Vietnam. So she is a huge political presence in Detroit, though all that part of her history, I think, is much less known and I think needs to be known a lot more.
In our last 30 seconds, and then I'm going to mention some events, folks, where you can see Jean Theo Harris talking about this book. But Charles Blow, in his New York Times column on Saturday, referred to your book and said it demonstrates that Rosa Parks was more Malcolm X than MLK. Would you go that far?
I mean, Malcolm X was her personal hero. And I think she really, her figure shows how people didn't necessarily choose between King and Malcolm, that to her, these were both incredible freedom fighters. Like Malcolm X, Rosa Parks is a long time believer in self-defense. She's a longtime critic of sort of northern racism, like King was as well. So there are many commonalities with her and Malcolm X.
Now, for people who want to see Jean Theo Harris, she'll be at the Barnes & Noble 82nd and Broadway on Wednesday, Friday at the Schomburg Center for an event honoring Parks and Eslanda Robeson, Sunday the 10th at the Book Court, and then February 20th at Sarah Lawrence College. And Jean Theo Harris is a professor of political science at Brooklyn College with the new book, The Rebellious Life of Mrs. Rosa Parks. Good telling of history. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.